As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
You got the Mighty Manfred here in Little Steven's Underground Garage for your coolest conversations podcast. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. My guest today is Louis Cabezas, lead guitar player in the punk band The Dolly Rots. Their bass player is our very own Kelly Ogden, who's also the lead vocalist in the band. But today we're checking in with Lewis, and their latest release is the new single and coolest song, Make Me Hot, out on Wicked Cool Records. Let's give some of that a listen, and then I'll be back with Lewis on the line for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Listeners in satellite radio listening land, this is the Mighty Manfred, and my guest today for our coolest conversations is Louis Cabezas, the guitarist in the Dolly Rots. Hi, Louis, how are you?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing pretty good.
Good, so you're staying healthy then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're just kind of hunkered down over here. We are not leaving the house if we don't have to, so, you know that vibe.
Yeah, hunkered just in the bunker. Hey, man, that is my new tune for you guys. You can work on that, Hunker in the Bunker.
Oh yeah, there you go. You just made up a hook for us.
Okay. And you just put my name as a writing credit on there. I don't need anything else. Just put my name on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you just need some publishing, that's all.
Yeah, some publishing. 50%.
There you go.
Well, speaking of new tunes, right? New single, Make Me Hot. That's been out a week now, Wicked Cool Records. It's this week's coolest song in the world. And I noticed that your buddy John Fields produced it with y'all. He plays keyboards. Now, he is your friend, your longtime guy you've worked with in Minnesota, right?
Yeah, you know, we met John out in California, and he produced our first record kind of accidentally. He was actually the engineer on a session that we had to record this commercial that we landed when we were first starting out. And, we just showed up at the studio to do this 30-second spot for this. It was a Hewlett-Packard commercial. And this guy walks up, you know, he was like the house engineer, we thought. It was over at Capitol Studio B. And, this guy walks up, we're just supposed to do this little 30-second song. And he says, hey, when we get done, do you want to maybe just cut a record? We got this studio for the rest of the day. And so, you know, we were really prepared at that point. And, you know, we recorded that 30-second thing, and the suits left, and we had 4 hours left in that legendary studio, and we cut 12 songs, and that ended up becoming our very first record. So afterwards, we realized, oh, yeah, he's a real producer, and we accidentally just made a record with him, and we've been recording with him ever since. He has since moved back to Minneapolis, but yeah, he's a superstar. He's awesome.
So, and I want to point out to folks who may not be aware, when you mentioned Capitol Records Studio B, we're talking about the iconic building there in Los Angeles with the spire
on the top. It looks like a stack of records. And in the basement there are these famed studios that, you know, have done all kinds of incredible music, whether it's rock and roll or jazz or band stuff. You know, it's all been done in there.
Yeah, and it definitely has a vibe. You know, that place is, it's kind of spooky. You know, it feels a little haunted. We've been lucky enough to record it in Studio A and Studio B over the years, and there, you know, you're just walking down the hall and there's pictures of Sinatra on the wall, and you know, it's like you can feel the vibe of ghosts or something like that. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, so Make Me Hot, the B-side, the Lisa Loeb song, Stay, I Missed You. So those are both recorded the same time there with John in Minneapolis?
Yeah, you know, for this one, we kind of did a remote sort of recording session. It was super, I don't know, I guess you could say it was super modern. So we kind of, what we did was we set up a FaceTime together, and he produced us while we recorded our parts over here, and he kind of like put things together on his end. So we did the whole record, or this whole single, with me and Kelly in Florida and John in Minneapolis. So it was kind of this like remote sort of recording deal. But yeah, so basically me and Kelly cut our parts over here in Florida in our home studio, and then John added all of the producer flourishes and the, you know, he just made it, took it to the next level like he always does. So yeah, he always raises the level of what we do, which is why he's kind of our, you know, third band member, whatever you want to call him. He's our George Martin kind of, you know.
Well, thinking of our current situation here, you guys being able to stay there and just do it from the bunker in Florida, that worked out pretty perfectly. This particular song, the idea of it, Make Me Hot, the lyrics and so forth, when did you come up with the song idea?
Oh, you know, that one's kind of a weird one, because we, you know, we record constantly. We just have our studio's just set up to be able to just go in. It's always hooked up. All the lines are always in, you know, we just have like, you know, a creative space. And that song was just one that's kind of been hiding out. You know, it's been like, it kind of just fell through the cracks sort of. I think we wrote it before, at the very beginning of writing the last record. Mm-hmm. And it was just this little demo that was hanging out, you know, on a hard drive. And when it was time to do this single, it was like, all right, let's go back through all the old demos and just see what's, you know, if there's anything good, any good ideas. And I remember the moment that you know, we rediscovered it. This is like a year and a half after we wrote it. Me and Kelly are sitting there, you know, we're just going through demo after demo. And it was like, oh, this one's pretty good. Yeah, that one's pretty good too. And then we clicked on that one and Kelly was like, we're doing this one, you know. So you just kind of know, like, you know, the arm hairs raise up, you know, you get goosebumps and you just know, all right, this is the one. So yeah, we did that one. And then lo and behold, that ended up being like the best one of the bunch. And so we just ran with it, and we're really happy with it. It's got a cool bass line.
Cool all over.
Well, that's the main thing. If the bass line's good, then it's a good song.
So you were talking about how John was organizing this, and you guys are doing your parts there in Florida, and he's putting flourishes on it. But let's talk a minute about the drummer, because let's see, the last album, Daydream Explosion, had Noah Levy as a drummer. This single, this guy, Reed Pryor. So I'm assuming that Reed was there in Minneapolis with John?
No, so even crazier. So Reed was in L.A. We know Reed from L.A., and Reed has worked with us on a few things in the past. He drummed on a couple tracks for us. We did a compilation with our buddies Bowling for Soup a few years ago, and he drummed on those songs. And when it was time to do this stuff, you know, I mean, me and Kelly can lay down the demo drums. That's no problem. But it's not going to have the style necessary for a final release. You know, we just kind of like basic beats. Yeah, so for this one, we reached out to Reed because he has a recording set up at his place, kind of like we have ours, Reed has his. And it was a similar sort of scenario, you know, we're just kind of like in contact over the web, and he knocked the parts out and we sent him over to Fields, and Fields said, oh yeah, these are really good. So if it's Fields approved, then, you know, we just run with it. But yeah, so the whole single was made without us ever having to actually be physically in the same room, even though, you know, might as well be. There's a back and forth, you know.
Well, social distancing was more than maintained.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There was no chance of not flattening the curve with our recording process. You know, it's tough to be stuck at home, but we can continue to be creative and we can continue to make music regardless. And, you know, I think the world needs that. So
I want to mention about the actual 45, the actual 7-inch is colored vinyl, but how would you describe the way the record actually looks?
The coolest looking record you've ever seen. Yeah, no, it really is awesome. It's like a kind of 50% opaque, translucent sort of splatter vinyl that just looks really trippy when it's spinning on the turntable. Yeah, it looks like a creamsicle or something like that. But yeah, we love it. Like, it turned out really good. And that's one thing about working with Wicked Cool. You know, the label, everyone at the label is always really supportive of creativity and making stuff as, like, as creative, you know, sounding and looking as possible. So, yeah, it looks really awesome. It's an awesome looking 7-inch.
So, I know you guys are supposed to be right in the middle of the tour now, and like everything that's going on that's been postponed. Are you even in a planning stage for when to postpone it to, or you're not going to bother to think about it until things are way more settled? What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, you know, our thoughts about it were, okay, let's at least get some holds. You know, let's at least, you know, have an idea of when we're going to go back out. And really, the only limiting thing with our situation is when school starts again, assuming school starts again. Yeah. So we're we're planning for the end of the summer. We just have to be back in time for our kid to start first grade. So, you know, our oldest kid, River, our kids tour with us, for anybody that doesn't know that. So, you know, we're not going to go on a big tour or a trip without bringing them because we feel like they should be a part of it. So we're looking at like late July through early August as the postponement time for this tour. And, you know, we'll just commit to that and see how things go. Obviously, it's not, you know, we'd prefer to be out right now, but we'll make the most of it. You know, the tickets will transfer over to the new date. People seem like, you know, they think it was the right decision. Obviously, it was the right decision, but
right,
it's okay. But same show, different time.
So you mentioned your old child is River, right?
Yeah.
And so he's going into first grade, which means he is will be 6 in the fall?
He's going to be 6, and then he's kind of like older for his grade because he was born in November. So he's going to turn 7 in November.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's right in the thick of, I've got to get him learning some actual chords now.
Well, man, that's exactly where I was headed, because jokingly we've talked about the Dolly Ross Mach 2 as a Partridge Family. I like yeah, hearing this. I think we spoke exactly, not exactly, but within almost exactly a year ago. At that point, I had mentioned Dick Dale used to have brought his son up on and started having his son play drums on stage with him when his son was about 6. He wouldn't play the whole set, obviously, but that's when he started bringing him up on stage. So this seems to be a family affair. Could you see yourselves when the kids are like teens or tweens actually having them play on stage with you guys? Or does that seem like a completely ridiculous idea or a possibility?
Oh, no, that's not... We already do that. We bring them up. I have I've got my backup guitars always ready to go, and one of them is like River's guitar, and so it's just kind of always hooked up, ready to go. You know, I've got like a ABY split, you know, pedal over there, and whenever it's time for him to come up, I just hit engage, and his amp magically comes on, and so we'll have him come up at some point during the set. You know, if it's, you know, it depends on the show. There's some nights where he doesn't want to play,
yeah.
Which, you know, we're not going to force him to, because I feel like he should only do it if he wants to at this point. Yeah. You know, we don't want to force him to do that sort of thing. Like, creativity shouldn't be forced. But yeah, he comes up, we have him come up and do a song with us. We do like a thing where he comes up on stage, he gets his guitar on, and then he strums. I have his guitar tuned to like an open tuning. He'll strum, and then we'll write a song right there on stage, like spontaneously with him. And so, yeah, it's something that people really like, and he likes it. He's not afraid of crowds, that's for sure.
Very cool. Well, let's speak about somebody else in your family, your wife, Kelly, a bass player. She sings lead, and she's on the air here in the Underground Garage Monday through Friday from between 4 to 8 a.m. Eastern. How is it living with a disc jockey?
Oh, man. Yeah, I have a few extra responsibilities now. Yeah, I mean, basically, like, in the mornings when she's doing her show, I'm getting the kids ready for school. We listen to Mommy on the way to school, and she knows that we're listening, so she's got funny things to say. She's got jokes for the kids. It's like an inside joke in the car in the morning when I'm taking the kids to school because Mommy's on the radio and kind of saying funny things for them. But yeah, it's been really awesome. You know, it's a whole different audience. I help her out with the show, you know, so we kind of get to do that together. And we like working together. So, it's not that big of a difference because it's still music. Yeah. But it's a whole different group of people that she interacts with online. And she really likes it. And turns out she's really good at it. Like, when she started doing it, you know, she sent in, you know, a couple demos when she was kind of thinking about trying out for it. And, you know, I was like, oh, my gosh, you're really good at this. So, yeah, Kelly's pretty good at everything, so it doesn't surprise me. But yeah, it's a cool thing, and she's really enjoying it.
Has anybody asked her to do any weddings yet?
Like, just, like, show up and be the wedding DJ?
Yeah.
You know, we get requests for weddings pretty consistently. You know, we'll get them, you know, every few weeks you get a message, and it's like, hey, I'm getting married in, you know, next October. Would you guys want to? So, yeah, it won't surprise me if she starts getting, like, the wedding DJ gig sort of thing. I mean, she knows her music, so.
There's something you were mentioning that I really love to hear right there was Carol Burnett used to have this thing where she'd pull her ear, and that was like a thing to her grandmother, you know, that's showing her, it's a way of saying I love you to her grandmother when she had the Carol Burnett show going on. And I think that's way cool that you guys are riding in the car and, you know, Mommy is saying stuff specifically that the kids can pick up on. I think it's way cool. So you help Kelly with the show. So you kind of help produce the show, but you're also producing bands. I heard you were working with a group called The Resonance. Can you tell me about them and maybe any other projects you're working with?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just kind of, you know, I say yes to things that I like. I love recording. I love making music. I love the process of putting music together. So for our band, you know, we know what we're doing, but it's nice to be able to, you know, interpret somebody else's stuff and make it, I feel like I can make it better, you know, that's the idea, not to change a band, but to try and like raise the level, kind of like Fields does for us. So there's a local band here in Florida. They're called The Resonance. I went to go see them live. Actually, one of the guys is like a mutual friend of ours. And he was like, hey, would you mind doing a, you know, a little demo for us? And I was like, okay, I'll come see you guys live. And they've got the most amazing songs. It's kind of like an Americana, sort of like John Mellencamp meets like a Cheap Trick or something like that. I really love it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you guys got at least four or five really good songs. And so, yeah, we just kind of buckled down. I recorded five tracks and they've got an EP coming out. And then I've got another kid that's been kind of like a fan slash, you know, friend of the band for the last, since he was a little kid, 10 years or something like that. It's this guy, Vincent Tyler. He goes by the name Innocent Tyler, and he's going to fly out from Arkansas. We're going to work on his second EP here coming up next month. And so yeah, it's all good stuff. I just love like making guitars and drums and vocals all come together. So yeah, we'll see where those projects go. But I'm really proud of all those things. And, you know, just giving somebody something that they can run with, like something that definitely sounds good, that sounds like professional. I want it to sound like it was recorded in Hollywood, you know, not in a backyard studio in Florida. Like, it should sound totally pro.
You're talking about Hollywood, California, not Hollywood, Florida.
Hollywood, Florida would not be the reference point. Although Florida has its merits, I gotta say.
Yeah. Hey, we gotta talk about the B-side. B-side time. So,
oh my gosh.
The Flip to Make Me Hot, your version of the Lisa Loeb song Stay, or I guess Stay, I Missed You. And I know, so the original got used in Reality Bites, that movie with Winona Ryder and Ethan Hawke and think Ben Stiller. First off, did you ever see the movie Reality Bites?
We did, but we were kind of young for the demographic of that movie. Like, it was like, I remember seeing it, but I wasn't really into movies at that point. I was into, like, shutting my door to my room and playing along to Nirvana. You know, I didn't really care about movies at that age. And, you know, Kelly was, like, you know, a free spirit hippie, so she wasn't really into it that much either. But that song was everywhere, you know, and it was kind of like it hit us at the exact right time because we were, like, we were young teenagers when it came out. And, you know, regardless of, like, the genre or whatever, if you were an adolescent when that song came out, it was a big part of your life. And so when it was time to think of a cover for this single, because, you know, we like to do covers for the B-sides a lot of times. Right. It was, you know, you have to think to yourself, all right, what's a song you truly love deep down? You know, like, it's kind of irresponsible to do a cover just for the sake of doing it, you know, or because, like, it's popular or because a lot of people like it. It's important to do a song that you really love. That's the only way it's going to come through the right way. And so yeah, we decided on that one, and it's like a different take on it. You know, you kind of turn it on its head.
Yeah.
Take an acoustic song and make it punk or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And we're super happy with it. Like, Kelly knows that song deep down in her soul, and you can tell when she's singing it, like, it's just like a part of her. So yeah, we're happy with it. We just feel like, all right, let's not do a, you know, our version of a punk song or our version of a rock song. Let's take, like, something that's totally off genre and make it different.
Have you ever met Lisa Loeb?
Yeah, we have, actually. There's, like, we have like a sporadic series of times we've met her. There was a point where Kelly was working with a guitar company called Daisy Rock, and they're really cool. I mean, I don't know if, you know, if you've seen, like, the guitars that are shaped like hearts, or, you know, the guitars for girls. It's really cool. Like, the company's set up to be, like, a, you know, a guitar company that advocates for women playing guitars. And so Kelly was working with them at a NAMM show one year, several years back. And, you know, she just got friendly with Lisa Loeb. Lisa Loeb was there. Like, Kelly was going to have a kid. Lisa Loeb had just had a kid. You know, they just got to connect on, like, on a mom level.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she's super cool. Lisa Loeb's awesome, like, in person. And yeah, I mean, if you had told us when we were adolescents that we were going to hang out with Lisa Loeb eventually, or do a song by her and have it be accepted by her. Yeah. Because she gave us her blessing to do the cover. So we're really happy about that. You know?
Oh, fantastic. So she gave her blessing to do the cover. Has she heard your version of it?
As far as I know, yeah. I mean, I don't have her phone number or anything. So we haven't heard any complaints. So, you know, you just want to do it justice. Like, when you do somebody's song, you want to make sure that it's going to be good. So, but yeah, we feel like it's solid. So
me too. Well, Lewis, thanks for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, these are fun. I mean, it's been like a year, but man, like, it's nice to be able to come back and be like, have the perspective of a year gone by. So yeah, thanks for having me back.
Of course. Please give our best to Kelly. Look forward to tuning into her. Well, very early in the morning for me in this part of the world, but still always good. So we need to take a listen to the B-side, the flip side to Make Me Hot. Here is Stay from the Dolly Rots and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
You say, I only hear what I want to. And you say, I talk so all the time.
Stay, I Missed You. That's the Dolly Rots covering the 1994 Lisa Loeb song here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. For the Dolly Rots, it's the B-side to their latest single, Make Me Hot, out on Wicked Cool Records.
This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Louis Cabezas, guitarist in the band, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Next time around, I'll be joined by Mickey Lee, Joey Ramone's younger brother. He's done a lot of work over the years to promote his brother's legacy, and way before that even, he taught Joey how to play guitar and helped him write songs. All the while, though, he's pursued his own music vision as well, including making an album with famed rock critic Lester Bangs and other projects. We'll talk about them all next week on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.